This morning, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'd like to speak on the thought of the three stages of control. The three stages of control. First Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing on the sharing of His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we love and praise You so much, and we thank You for Your goodness and grace. We thank You, Lord, for this time that we have together to worship You and to, Lord, be encouraged by Your Word. We pray now in the name of Jesus that as we begin to look to Your Word, You would speak to us, Lord, through the power of Your Word. Give words to the speaker, give ears to every hearer here. And may God, Your gospel, Lord, just make us stronger in faith and in relationship with You and with others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe this Friday the Olympics will begin in China. And as we mentioned before, remember China in prayer. Amen. There are people under great oppression. There are people under political oppression, as we've seen, as we've read about in different reports. And there are also people under spiritual oppression. So we need to pray that God would just bless them. And I can't think of a better reminder than seeing the Olympics on television and hearing about it in the radio and newspaper. So when you hear the Olympics or China, pray for China. Pray that God does a work in China. Amen. And saves the billions. Not millions, not even hundreds of millions, the billions of souls that are in that great country. But this Friday, it's the beginning of the Olympics. Some of the finest athletes in the world will be competing. And it's just mind-boggling to think what these people have had to do in order to get to this place of Olympic competition. It does require talent, and I just don't discount that in any way. They have to be talented people to compete in the Olympics. But it also requires as much, if not more, hours upon hours upon hours of training, of practice, and of conditioning in order to do well in the various events that they'll be participating in. Their conditioning, their training shows tremendous dedication and sacrifice. Great pain many of them went through in order to get to the place that they are at, world competition. Things that required immense discipline and self-control. I'm sure many, if not all, of these young people who will be competing the next few weeks, I'm sure in order to get to this place, they have needed to put their lives basically on hold. Everything else in life has had to take a sidestep or a side role in order to reach this level of excellence so that they can compete. They have become a people of intense discipline and of self-control. You and I are likened unto these athletes in the scripture that I read this morning. We are doing many things as far as it relates to our relationship with Jesus and our place in this world as His representatives. We're soldiers under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're children of our Heavenly Father, and what a warm and loving aspect that is. But we're also people who are on a mission. We're running for a prize. To hear those words, when one day each and every one of us who profess Christ, when we stand before Jesus, will hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We're running for a prize. And so to run well and to hear those words, we must be a people of self-control, of self-discipline. So I'd like to talk about that this morning. And in doing that, I'd like to use the imagery of self-control as it relates to our bodies. It's something that we all can relate to. And I feel there are basically three areas or three levels of control that you and I can exhibit in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The first level is the level or the area of no control. A person that you could describe as being a person of little willpower. Now, as far as taking care of my body, I loved being 19. How many enjoyed being 19 years old? I don't know what it is about 19, but something about 19. It was great. For those of you who remember, I won't say who, Haley, but someone was saying they don't remember. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that little levity there. But being 19 was great. And two of the things I really didn't concern myself with too much was diet and exercise. I exercised a little, but I didn't do it in order to get in shape and to be healthy. I did it more because it was fun. You know, I liked going down to the Y and playing ball and doing those types of things. But as far as eating, you know, I could care less if what I was eating was good for me or not. You know, bring on the steak, and the more fat, the better. And, you know, Twinkies and donuts were all favorites of mine. They were great. And, you know, I didn't have to worry about it. I felt pretty good. I felt great. And maybe I would have felt better if I ate better then. But as far as eating and those types of things, at that point in my life, I was a person of little willpower. And in some ways, that can describe us as being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. A person of no willpower or a person of no control. Not concerned regarding their spiritual health or their discipline. We can describe this person as a person who is not ruled so much by God and by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, but a person who is more so ruled by their flesh or their sinful nature or their passion. A person who is ruled by the thought, if it feels good, do it. You know, when I was 19, you know, I pretty much ate when I want, when I felt like it. And, you know, if there were three donuts there, I would eat them because I love donuts. Believe me, I've learned that three donuts isn't that good. Come back to hurt me. But if it feels good, do it. You know, you're not concerned with that. And so I didn't worry so much about my body, even though, and let me say, people who might be younger, I'm not condoning eating poorly at your age. I think it's good to develop good habits now. Don't be like me, who maybe has learned the hard way. But people can demonstrate little or no control regarding their physical bodies. They don't do what they should do. They do what they feel like doing. They do not things that require effort, but those things that require no effort at all. As far as eating habits, eat whatever they feel like, whether it's healthy or not. Little or no exercise. Abuse of alcohol, tobacco, or other substances. And we can become that way as far as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. No control, or some might say out of control. These believers can be described, Paul describes them in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, where the Bible says, "For as I have often told you before now, and say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." Now, who is Paul talking about in this scripture? He's talking about believers. And what he is saying is there are many people who, although they profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what are they? They are living as though they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not doing those things that God has called them to do. They're not propagating the gospel in their lives. And the reason for it is in verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. And the phrase in this verse that really speaks out to me as far as a believer who is out of control or has no control is that their God, the person whom they truly love, the person whom they worship, the person whom they are under control is their own body or their own flesh or their own desire. That second phrase, their God is in their stomach. You know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have two voices, two potential voices that we can listen to as far as the order and the direction of our lives. The voice of God's Holy Spirit, the voice of His Word, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the voice of our own flesh. And what does our flesh seek to do? Our flesh seeks to be gratified. Now, in some instances, that might be good. I mean, if I've gone all day without eating and my stomach begins to growl and I begin to get that, it's not really a pain, but that discomfort because I haven't eaten, that's a good desire. And I know I need to eat something in order to strengthen and sustain myself. But in that instance, it's good. But there are some instances that my flesh might lead me to do something wrong. If I had an issue with alcohol, to drink until I couldn't stand up, to have a good time or so forth or so on. The flesh has no moral. It simply seeks to be gratified. And although sometimes it might lead us to a place that is beneficial, other times it will lead us to a place of death or destruction. So whomever control we are under will determine our destiny according to this verse. And sometimes, instead of being under control of God, we can be under control of our flesh. A person whose life is of little self-control or no control is a person whose life is marked by little devotion, a dusty Bible, knees that are soft and supple but not callous, as one who spends much time in prayer. Someone who is infrequent in their attendance in church. Someone who demonstrates no commitment of any type as far as service or witness. Someone who in their life develops or demonstrates very few evidences or fruits of repentance. And let me tell you, according to the Bible, according to John the Baptist, if you have professed Christ as your Savior, which means in one aspect of this, you have repented or you've turned from your sins, you've done more than just say, I'm sorry. For true repentance means you turn or change. John the Baptist brought this out as he preached to the multitudes that he preached to. He said to those who he was preaching to, bring forth what? Fruits worthy of repentance. He wasn't just saying, well, just say I'm sorry and don't worry about it. He said, if you truly want to be righteous before God, make a change. Show God you're sorry. But a life of a person of no control is someone who has not brought forth those fruits of repentance. And you know, that this can happen to new believers, you know, in never really catching the vision to take their relationship with Christ seriously and just kind of meander through life and in their relationship with God and hope to barely make it into the gates of heaven. But this can also be something that affects the committed, Spirit-filled believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen pictures of former athletes, maybe baseball players or football players, basketball or something, and you looked at them and you said, wow, what happened to him? At one time in his career when he or she, they might have been training and involved in their sporting activity, looked very fit, very strong, very healthy, but later on in their life, they seemed, well, let's just say they seemed less fit. And you wonder, what happened? You might have seen that in at reunions and friends that you knew who were athletes in school. And the thought comes to your mind, boy, they let themselves go. What does that show us? Well, we can be people of self-discipline and commitment for a time. But if we're not careful, if we don't keep up with it, we can allow lack of self-control to ruin our lives. And the same thing can happen to us as far as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There will always be the temptation to ease up and to listen not to the voice of God's Holy Spirit, but to the voice of your own flesh that seeks solely to gratify itself, whether it pleases God or not. And let me tell you, there will be times when you won't want to pray. Praying will not please the flesh. There will be time reading the Word of God will not please your flesh. There will be times coming to church. There will be times teaching or witnessing or doing whatever the Spirit of God has called you to do will not please your flesh. If you lack control, you will fail in those mandates and obligations that God has rested upon you. Now, the results of this are terrible. What about someone who doesn't take care of themselves, who exists on the diet of Twinkies and donuts, who doesn't rest well? You know, there's a lot, not just the eating aspect, but, you know, who doesn't take care of themselves as far as rest, or who refuses to get over some of the addictive things that might be ruining their health. Well, there are people who are out of shape. They lack stamina. They might have difficulty sleeping. Many people, if they're not well physically, and your physical body will affect your mental body as well as your spiritual body, will not be as emotionally stable as they should be. They might be touchy or grouchy or emotional. Could lead to some devastating diseases, diabetes, heart disease, and so forth and so on. Well, you know, it's the same thing as far as living for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, spiritually, what you neglect dies. You know, think of it in the natural. How easy is it to put on weight for most people? For most people. Now, my brother, and some of you saw him last Sunday night, my brother eats more than I do, and I like to eat. But he's about, if you haven't seen, he's this thin, you know. If you put my pinky next to him, you'll have trouble determining who. I've got a few members of my family who are like that, but very few and far between. It's very easy to put on weight or to have things going on in our bodies that aren't right because we're not eating right. How about weeds in a garden? How hard do you have to try to have weeds grow in your garden? You have to try it all. They happen. Or rust or anything else that's bad or negative in life. You don't have to try at all. Those things just happen. But to maintain wealth, or if you're an athlete, you know, to have that in stamina and strength, it takes hard work. To have vegetables and flowers, you have to stay on. It takes work to cultivate those things. And so it is not only in life as far as those things which are important, but in the supernatural life, but in the supernatural. Those blessings that we receive in knowing Jesus. To be people of spiritual fruitfulness. You know, of love and joy and peace and all those other wonderful things that come to those people who spend time with God. It takes work. It takes discipline. It takes walking with Jesus. Fruit will not grow unless the vine has been cared for. Jesus talked about that in the parable of the true vine. The Apostle Paul talks about it because it's true, and it's important that we fulfill that in our lives. And so it's important. If we do not take care of our spiritual soul and exercise control and discipline in that, our spirits will suffer. As far as our faith, we'll be people not marked by faith and confidence, but confusion, doubt, fear, absence of joy, loss of anointing. There's even the potential of losing our own faith and soul in our relationship with Jesus. So the first level is that of no control. But if we're truly to progress in Christ, we need to be self-controlled. Now, for a pretty good period of my life, which was sad to say because it really put a precedent in my life that wasn't good, I could pretty much eat anything I wanted without a whole lot of consequences. But something happened about the time I turned about 33, 34 years old. My body changed on me. It turned on me. And I found that I could not take weight off like I used to. In fact, there are other things in my body that went on that weren't even related to weight and can be directly attributed to both diet and exercise. And I found, and especially in more recent years, that if I'm to feel good, if I'm to be healthy, if I'm to control my weight, I need to be someone who exercises self-control in what I eat and also exercise. And I'm not saying that we're to be slaves to our body. And exercise is something the Bible says profits little, not a whole lot, but there is profit in it. And if my body's breaking down, I can't be as an effective minister or husband and father that I should be. So the temple needs to be taken care of. And so I need to, and I have, maybe not as faithfully as I should, but demonstrate self-control regarding both diet and exercise. I've learned to do that. And we need to understand that as far as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to be spiritually healthy, we need to be people of self-discipline, which means we need to be people who make the choice that we are going to serve God the way that we know how to. Now, it seems obvious, but sometimes as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're under the understanding that, or the thinking that, since we're Spirit-filled, it means we don't have to put any effort into anything. The Spirit will lead us to do things. And yes, I'm not trying to despise the ministry of the Holy Spirit in any way. In fact, if we are truly the sons and daughters of God, we are to be people who are led by the Spirit. But being Spirit-led does not absolve us from the calling that we have to be people of self-control, to be people who put our efforts into serving Jesus. Generally speaking, this is brought out for us in James chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." God doesn't say, "I'm going to force you to come to me." God says, "If you want me to come to you, what must we do first?" We must put forth the effort, or we must be people who are disciplined to first approach the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in doing so, receive and reap His benefits. The benefits of it. More specifically, this is seen in the area of devotion. God is not going to come down or send an angel to come down every morning to wake you up and say, "Get up, it's time to pray and it's time to read your Bible." You, if you are to be a man or a woman of God, are going to have to be a person who makes the choice or have the discipline in your life that you will pray and that you will read the Bible. Listen to the heart of David in Matthew 5, verses, or Psalms 5, 2 and 3. "Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." What is this saying? Is David doing this in response to God? No, what he is doing is instigating a pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants more of God in his life, so he has developed a discipline to pursue Him with all of his heart. And so he has made that choice, and he's following that choice. And that's not just brought out here. There's a list of commands or imperatives from Psalm 37. "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He'll grant you the desires of His heart. Trust in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Refrain from anger. Turn from evil. Wait for the Lord." All of these things that God wants believers to do. He's not saying, "I will make you do those things." He's saying, those are things that you must choose to do. Those are things that may or may not go along with what you want to do, what your heart or your flesh might cry out to do. But those are things that you need to make the choice or develop a discipline to do in your life. And so as believers, we need to be people of self-control or discipline. At some point, we need to be people who take control of our lives. I know as far as myself, I needed to take control because there was a time where I was gaining a lot of weight. And I was seriously wondering, and I'll talk about this a little while, I was seriously wondering if the weight gain would ever stop and some of the physical things that were going on in my life because of it. But at some point, I had to make the choice to take control of my life, to exercise, to eat right, to sleep, to get rid of those things which were hurting me and do those things that I needed to do. And the reason I needed to make that choice was because no one was going to do it for me. You know, Raylene, as much as she loves me, as much as she was an encouragement, encouraging to me, she couldn't make me do those things. You know, if it got to the point where I needed to see a doctor could tell me what I needed to do, but a doctor could not make me do any of those things. Those are things I need to make the choice to do myself. And likewise, many things, spiritual things, things of worship, God expects us to do ourselves. He's not going to shake us out of bed to pray or make us come to church or force us to serve God or to witness. He will woo as far as His Holy Spirit will call us, will direct us. He'll empower us. He'll give us everything we need to do what we should do. But we have to make that choice and that decision, which means we need to be people of self-discipline or self-control. I will not listen to the god of my belly. I will listen and serve to the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of my soul. And so as believers, and if that was the case, if God made everyone do those things, a church would be filled. We would have no problem as far as we'd have tons of people doing things all the time, always praying, always do those things. It's a matter of choice. And so as our text says, we need to be, if we're to be people of self-control, we need to be at times harsh with our bodies. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27, our text this morning, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. How do we become people? When we've reached that place of no control, how do we bring ourselves back to that place of self-control once again or self-discipline? But Paul was saying we need to treat our bodies harshly. Let me share with you a personal experience and how when I sense lack of willpower, self-control creeping in my life, what I need to do. And that is I need to separate myself pretty much from everything and separate myself alone with God for a while. And there's great power in the Word, and there's great power in prayer, but one thing I have found in my own life that has been helpful to bring me to a place of self-discipline, to renew that aspect in my life, is separating myself for a time of prayer and of fasting. Something happens when you just separate yourself from everything in the world and just spend time alone with God. When you do that, what happens? God resets all the priorities in your life. You know, we live in the world and whatnot. Let me tell you, if I worked in a bakery, and, you know, a really good bakery with a lot of good stuff, it would be very, very difficult to always want to eat perfectly. And I'm not saying eating a sweet now and then is bad, but you know what I'm saying? If you spend a lot of times with cookies and candies and all that stuff, which is great, and a little bit of it's fine, but not too much, you know, it's going to look really good to you. It's going to be hard to resist. And sometimes, and we as being people who live in this world, sometimes the world gets to looking pretty good. And the mindset of the world and the way the world thinks can sometimes impress itself upon us. But when we separate ourselves from the world and everything that's in the world and just get alone with God, His Word, His Holy Spirit, God renews everything the way that it should be. And restores not just the joy of our salvation, but a right perspective. And gives us the strength to be people who take control once again. But the third level of control is that of spirit control. There's self-control, but then there's also spirit control. And you might be asking, Brother Randy, you've been talking a lot about doing things in the flesh, so to speak, doing things yourself. But is there no place for the Holy Spirit? There certainly is. Although we've been called to be a people of self-control, we've also been called to be a people who are under control or influence of the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, I don't think we can truly be a people of self-control unless we're a people of spirit control. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and of self-discipline or self-control. You know, there's something as far as wanting in our lives to be a certain way. And you know what? God wants us to be that way too. God wants us to be people of discipline, who are disciplined in our prayer lives, who are disciplined in our study of the Word of God, who are disciplined as far as our service and our calling. He wants all of those things in our lives. And sometimes it's hard when we're trying to wrestle the God of our belly, so to speak, with just ourselves. The battle can be difficult. But when we're filled and walking closely with the Holy Spirit, the battle becomes so much easier because His Holy Spirit helps us to become that disciplined person that God wants us to be and that we need to be if we're to be successful in Christ. So it's important in our lives that we be individuals who continually seek the power of the Holy Spirit and to live in that power every day of our lives. But there are some places or some aspects of our lives that we can't control ourselves. You know, every one of us has strengths and weaknesses. And every one of us have areas in our lives that we don't have too much difficulty and taking control of. But others of us have problems in some areas of our lives. We might be good in one area, maybe telling the truth, but in the area of maybe addiction or alcoholism or something, we have weakness, and for some reason we keep failing. I know as far as when my weight seemed to be getting out of control, not only did I know I was going down the wrong path, but in my mind, I didn't think I could ever get a hold of this thing and that I just keep gaining weight because I just didn't think I had it within me, having lived so long not caring about what I eat, that I could be the person that I needed to be for my own health in my body. But you know, when we're in that place where you know, this is something that we have consistently not been able to get the victory over, or when we're at a weak point, you know, sometimes we can be strong in an area, but maybe because a lot of things are going on in our lives and we're tired, or maybe we're under pressure, you know, pressure and fatigue sometimes can bring out the worst in us. We're not as strong as we should be. And so it is difficult to be that disciplined person. God, despite pressures, God, despite our weaknesses, has not called us to defeat, but has called us to victory. And that victory comes when we don't have it within us because we're either fatigued or overwhelmed or it's just something beyond that we can handle. God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, can help us to be a people who overcome and who are not slaves to those things. Because Christ did not come to deliver us from some things. Christ came to deliver us from all things, the things that we can handle and the things that we can't handle. And He does so through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. When we're overmatched, when we either real or perceived feel that we're facing challenges in our faith that are beyond us because we're tired or overwhelmed, or it's just an area of weakness that we seemingly can't overcome, confidently we can rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to overcome those things. Being people who are filled with the Spirit, of course, but being people who learn to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. What is Paul saying there as far as the key to success in living for Jesus and rising over the God of our belly, so to speak? It's living a life not yielded to the belly or self, but living a life that is completely yielded to the Holy Spirit. Our strengths, but also our weaknesses. Which means as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every day, not only do we need to commit our wills that we're going to serve the Lord, but we need to also implore the Holy Spirit to empower us to live above every challenge that we might face against how God has called us to serve Him. And not only call upon Him, to give us the power, to give us the anointing, to break whatever bondage might be upon our life, hindering us from serving Jesus. But also to give us the strength to make the choice to live under that power. Amen? God will do everything that He can, but we have to make the choice that that we're going to live under the provision that He has given us through the power of His Holy Spirit. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning and thank God for the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives. And the ability that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, gives us to live a life of victory and not defeat. And as our musicians are coming this morning, I'd just like to ask everyone to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And the first person I'd like to speak to this morning is the person of little or no control or discipline in your life or your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your spiritual model, whether you are conscious of it or not, but as you've thought about it, it has become very evident. Your spiritual model is, if it feels good, do it. I'll serve God only when I feel like serving God. I'll pray only when I feel like praying, or I'll study only when I feel like studying. I'll come to church when I feel like it. Not because these are things that I must do in order for me to be that strong and effective and blessed person in my relationship with Jesus. Today is the day that you need to make that commitment to become a disciple, a person of discipline. A person whose life is no longer under control, out of control, but a person who takes control of their lives in the name of Jesus. It has to start with you. You have to demonstrate a desire to change. No one, not even God, can make that decision for you. I mean, God could, but He chooses not to. And so if that would describe you this morning, just lift your hand up to God, and we're going to pray in just a few moments. But lift up your hand and say, God, this morning, I've been a person of no control or no discipline, and I need to make a change in the name of Jesus. And God will see your hand. God will acknowledge that hand this morning in Jesus' name. Second, I'd like to speak to that person when, and you've made that choice to be a person of self-control. But to be quite frank and quite honest, you keep in at least one, maybe a couple areas of your life, it seems like you just keep butting your head up against the wall. You know, you've been really good in like devotional areas, but there's something that you just can't get the victory over. For whatever reason, your flesh takes over. And what's been happening, you've made a good choice. You're serving God and you're still walking closely with God, but you have yet to learn to live that life which is yielded to the Holy Spirit. Because a life of victory is a life that lives for Jesus, not only with the flesh, but under the power of the Holy Spirit. Today's the day that you need to ask God to teach you how to live under the influence and under the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And so if that would describe you this morning, you lift up your hand and say, God, I need to live a Spirit-controlled life. I haven't been yielding myself spiritually to you. And so every time I face this one issue or these two issues, I continue to fall in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, as you seek Him out, He's going to empower you in the name of Jesus to rise above that. Especially this morning, I speak to that person because of what you're going through in your life. You just are so overwhelmed because the battle's been long, the battle's been hard, and so it's been tough to serve God as you should. Let me tell you, we serve a supernatural God. And although your physical body, your flesh might be weak, the Holy Spirit will enable you to be the person that God wants you to be. He wants you to be this way for two reasons. Number one, He wants you to live under His blessing because He loves you. He doesn't want to see you joyless or confused or powerless. He wants to see you living a life that's blessed. But He also wants to use you as a demonstration to others of what His Holy Spirit can do in their lives because it's happening in your life. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray and we're going to believe God together that God is going to make us people and continue to help us to be people of both self-control. We're the new man that God has placed within us, so the new woman that God has placed within us has taken control, and we're not listening to the flesh. We're listening and we're choosing to obey the voice of the Spirit. And we're also going to pray that God will teach us not only to seek the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives for everything that we do, but to help us to yield to that power so that we will not yield to temptation or weakness in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You so much today for what You have done. We thank You, Lord, for the power of the cross, the blood of Jesus that cleanses from every sin, that breaks every yoke and every bondage. We thank You, Lord, for Your anointing, which, Lord, breaks the yoke, as the Scripture says, which enables us, if we so choose, Lord, to rise above every weakness and every adversity in our lives, to live in perfect obedience and blessing in Jesus' name. Father, there are those of us today whose lives have just, spiritually speaking, gone out of control. God, we lack structure and discipline in our relationship with You. And so we confess our sin of no discipline, in the name of Jesus. And we commit to you this day in the name of Jesus to be a people who take control of our lives, who no longer make the choice to listen to the God of our belly, our flesh, our old nature, but to make the choice to listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. God, we also pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk under the control and the power of your Holy Spirit, to not only make that decision in our minds to serve you with all of our hearts, but Lord, to yield under the power of your Holy Spirit to fulfill that completely in the name of Jesus. God, we confess that we've been trying too long and too hard in our own strength, which is our weakness, in overcoming certain things in our lives. God, help us in Jesus' name. Fill us with the power of your Spirit. And teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name, to be yielded completely to you. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 As we begin to sing this morning, we invite those whom the Lord might be dealing with this morning, perhaps regarding the issue of self-control or being under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit, or perhaps for some other issue that you would like to come forward and pray for. The altars are open, and welcome to you to come and spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who must go, we pray God's peace and blessing to be with you in a great and powerful way. We do, however, ask that you leave quietly and reverently as there are those who are worshiping and those who are praying. Let's sing together in Jesus' name.